What was the main military strategy during the whole crisis?
President Kennedy had pretty much told the Russian people, Khrushchev, to dismantle the missiles in Cuba. And in place of that, Russia was sending more missiles to Cuba. So the president declared a blockade, a naval blockade of anything going in or out of Cuba. That included food, passengers, any kind of domestic, nothing would go into Cuba. So we had our naval blockade in place and being prepared to protect the United States in case of a nuclear attack from Russia, being prepared to invade Cuba if necessary, and being prepared, I think, to retaliate, not necessarily to attack Russia, but and to support the naval blockade was the primary thing that everybody was concerned about at that time. And it's very, very dramatic, and our ships were there, and the Russian ships were heading in that direction, and it was, you know, you just knew that there was going to be a confrontation, and it was exciting.
Explain to me a little bit about the Air Force's Strategic Army Command. What exactly?
Strategic Air Command was the bombers and the missiles that would deliver nuclear bombs to a target. Okay, and primary target at that time was Russia. And we were their primary target, too. But Strategic Air Command had long-range bombers that they could fly, stay in the air for a long, long time, and refuel them in the air. And it was kind of like a flying missile site. They could launch the missiles from the aircraft or drop the bombs. You know, they were sitting in the air and prepared at all times. They could arm the weapons and drop them.
Did you know what all we had at the time? Did you know, you guarded some of the planes. Did you know what we had? I mean, it's because a lot of the American people did not, I'm sure.
Well, you know, it was very easy to tell the plane that was most important because that would be the one that got the most security. And those B-52s got, you know, very top priority security. They also had at Eglin, sometime before the missile crisis, a manned weapons demonstration for President Kennedy. And he came to Eglin Air Force Base, and I'd mentioned to you about how big the landmass was, and out over the Gulf, too, and they demonstrated all the weapons that the Air Force had. For President Kennedy. That included, you know, shooting down airplanes and the speed and, you know, different aircraft, you know, how good they were at fighter pilots and, you know, the missiles. It was a the United States is pretty good shape, seemed to me like at that time, and even better now with all the sophisticated weapons that they had.
Right.
So, you know, I think everybody knew, the American public may not have, but certainly most of the military people knew that we had advanced weapons to defend our country.
When did you finally learn that it was all over? That Khrushchev had finally, everything had calmed down?
Well, I'm not sure. I know the newscast, television, radio, whatever, it was, you know, it was constantly talking about the latest development and so forth. But our blockade and the Russian ships got, you know, fairly close to each other. And I remember one thing was that we were eyeball to eyeball, and Russia blinked, which is a way of saying that it's like teenagers playing chicken in a car, you know, they turn first. So we held our ground and they turned first. From there, knew there would not be a confrontation, or it wasn't likely at least, and it, you know, just deteriorated there. To Russia agreed to remove the missiles, and that threat to the United States was, you know, taken away.
During the time of the crisis, you had talked about, you know, building fallout shelters and what have you. During the crisis, did you see more of that? I mean, like a hastened pace for people to build, you know, even in their backyard. Did you see any of that? Or?
I don't know. Probably people reacted a lot like they do now. It's the weather. People say that it's going to snow. You know, they go get bread and milk, and I'm sure the American people were. I know everybody was concerned that, you know, that there would be a war, a nuclear war. Nobody wants that, of course. So I'm sure people were preparing in their own way.
What did you do? Anything like you? I know you had Carrie then. What?
Can't remember. I know, you know, working 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, you know, or more. The military would take, you know, all their troops, at least in our armed forces police still. Instead of having three shifts or four shifts, they just had two, so we had a lot more people working. Just 12 hours on, 12 hours off. So I really can't remember that we did anything different. Probably wasn't much that we could do.
Right.
Really.
Right.
Pray.
After the crisis was over, what was the feeling in the armed forces? Did people have a sense Russia, as you said, had blinked first? Were people more confident, or, you know, more relaxed maybe, or?
I don't think relaxed is a good word, but I think confidence is a good word. That the military had, you know, we had stood our ground, and our country was, you know, we all feel that God is on our side, and that, you know, we're doing what's right for humanity and for our country. And I think there was an added confidence and the military and in the general public of the United States, the population of the United States, of, you know, patriotism, and our young President Kennedy, you know, was very, very popular. He had the courage to call Khrushchev's hand and had won that little crisis. So everybody felt good about their country and about their military, I think, at that point in time.
This concludes my interview with Jean Cornette on the Cuban Missile Crisis.